Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and as we all know, the Obamacare enrollment website went live on October 1st to complaints about crashes and confusion. Spanish language complaints were probably not among them, not because things were working, but rather because the Spanish language version of the site, cuidadodesalud.gov, didn't exist. It appeared on December 6th, and things aren't exactly going well now that it's here. AP reported this week that parts of the website are written in what they call Spanglish, or at the very least, are translated poorly. Dr. Jane Delgado is president and CEO of the National Alliance for Hispanic Health. Dr. Delgado, welcome to WNYC.
Well, I'm very glad to be with you this morning because we're so happy that in New York we have so many people who are enrolling.
So what's going on here? Some people are arguing that the website is written in Spanglish, which means, you know, a very sloppy kind of mix of English and Spanish that is not one nor the other. Others claim that certain translations are either overly literal or just bad. So is this a question of semantics?
I think people are missing the forest for the twig, okay? The idea that the Spanish is not perfect. You know, when there's translation of so much materials, there are going to be some errors. So that is not, you know, where people should focus their attention. I think people should focus on their attention on the functionality of the web page. And to add to that, the concerns about if you have people who have not had health insurance, how do you teach them the language of insurance? We already know that for English speakers, half of the people who are uninsured do not understand the different terms that are the jargon of insurance. So I think that focusing on whether the Spanish is perfect, you know, that's, you know, the English is not perfect either. So I don't think that should be the focus.
Listeners, are you a Spanish speaker who has tried to sign up for health care online? You just heard our guest, Dr. Delgado, say a lot of people are doing it. Did you do it? Is the translation as bad as people are saying? I know we have bilingual people listening to this show all the time, so maybe you actually went to try to sign up for a policy in Spanish on the Spanish language pages. If you have been, you know, if you are one of the people who's had that experience, call us up and tell us how it went for you. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Is there anything besides the wording or the translation on cuidadodesalud.gov that made it more or less user-friendly? We'd like to know what your experience has been. If there's anybody who happens to be listening right now who's had this experience, give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And let's hear a clip of a promotional ad on cuidadodesalud.gov.
Es un sitio para comparar una amplia gama de planes de alta calidad, revisar sus opciones y elegir el que sea adecuado para usted. Encontrará la información clara y fácil de entender.
All right. So, Dr. Jane Delgado, our guest, president and CEO of the National Alliance for Hispanic Health. You're trying to downplay the seriousness of the problem. But
No. I said that was not the major problem. I said focusing on the translation was like focusing on the twig instead of the forest.
I understand.
The forest is that you cannot shop on the Spanish language site.
You cannot shop at all on the Spanish language shop? You mean the one in New York in particular because there is none?
In the federal webpage, you cannot shop on the Spanish language site.
What does that mean?
Well, you know, so for example, on the English language site, one of the things which is wonderful is you can look at more or less prices for different plans for you before you actually start the enrollment process.
Uh-huh.
In the Spanish website, the HHS. The cuidadodesalud.gov, you can't shop. You can't shop looking at different plans and their costs before you start the enrollment process.
Are they aware of that? in the Obama administration, and have they reacted to that as far as you know?
Yes, we've spoken to them, and they know that we were very concerned about them, about that. My staff actually were at HHS this week. They met with Secretary Sebelius. We talked to them in December about it, and they're working as hard as possible, and they say February, the shopping component will be up.
I see.
Now, it may be earlier, you know, who knows, but for us not to be able to shop is a lot more important than having perfect Spanish.
I hear
so that's
you.
What I'm not. I wasn't saying that that everything was wonderful. I'm saying, you know, let's focus on what are the issues for people who have to make these very hard choices.
Can you comment on the title of the healthcare site, Cuidado de Salud? Are those the words that should be used to translate healthcare.gov?
You know what? It's close enough. I've written 7 health books in English, and I've worked in the translation and then to Spanish. And I know that, you know, there's always going to be someone who's going to say, oh, well, it should have been this or it should have been that, or, you know, in
it's kind in of this. Health warning, isn't it? Cuidado is care?
Yeah, it means care. It means work. It depends how you want to use it. But the bottom line is that people know what it implies. This is where you go to buy insurance. I mean, a lot of things don't have to be a direct translation, you know. So I think as long as people understand what it is, that's a step in the right direction. The problem is, once people get on there, can they do what they need to do and have the information that they need in order to make an informed decision as to what plan to sign up for?
And I think
that's the bigger issue.
And I think Matt in Queens, who's a translator, has an example of a problem relating to that. Am I right, Matt?
Right. So I'm actually sitting right now translating Spanish documents into English. And so I can say every country has different terms for government programs. They're called different things in every state in the U.S., for example. And there's simply no vocabulary yet in Spanish to describe this new government program. I mean, the vocabulary in English has just been invented.
Right. So I think that, you know, we're making the most with what we have, and people understand what it is. Look, a lot of things, when people think of a word like Uber, okay, that does not mean, you know, car service, okay, in English, but people understand what the word implies. It's the same thing with this. The question and the challenge is the language of insurance, okay, copay. How do you translate copay into Spanish in a word that is meaningful? How do you tell people who have not had insurance is that if you have a plan that says it pays 60% of your costs, they actually pay 60% of what are the usual and customary charges and not necessarily what are the costs that you're being billed for. So I think that part of it is learning what things mean and understanding how to make this very difficult decision about which health care plan is best for you and your family. And we're telling people, get as much information as you can, know what medicines people are taking or not taking, have a good idea about, you know, your health as much as you can, and, you know, and then start thinking about the plans. You know, just because something is cheaper doesn't mean it's going to meet the needs for you or for your family.
Matt, thank you for your call. Andrea in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello, Andrea.
Hello. So I tried to start using the website in Spanish, and then I realized that you can't really go through the whole process in that website. So because I know I'm fluent in English, I decided to go to the English website. The whole experience was very frustrating.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. So, the whole experience was extremely frustrating. I was able to fill up to a point of the application. It wouldn't move forward from there. I had to call. I had to wait on the phone like 3 times for an hour. And finally, yesterday, which was the last day to sign up if you want to get covered, starting February 1st,
yes.
I finally got somebody over the phone that cared enough to help me through the process. It was very frustrating. I think that process still needs a lot of improving. Customer service over the phone, I have to say, is extremely poor. And, I mean, I was like, well, thankfully I was able to sign up. By the end of it, I was, like, glad that I had to pay all this money to get health insurance, because the whole process has been just so incredibly frustrating.
Are you saying that you started on a Spanish language site, that was too frustrating, you went to the English language site, that was too frustrating, and you wound up on the phone?
Yes. And the first time that I spoke with somebody over the phone, she said that she didn't have access to the information that you have to upload some information in order to get the credit, right?
Right.
I did that, and then I could not move forward from that. I would log in again, all the information. I couldn't access the information beyond that point. This happened over several days. Like, I tried to do this over a period of a couple of weeks. And then I was like, okay, I'm not going anywhere this way. I decided to call. The person that I first spoke with said that she didn't have access to this database. And I'm like, well, if you have access to the same thing that I have access to, then what's the purpose of having counselors over the phone?
Right, right. And
this is after waiting for over an hour. Right? So anyway, yesterday, finally, I was like, okay, let's try to do this today. Today is the last day for me to be able to start getting coverage on February 1st.
And you finally did it.
Thankfully, I got somebody over the phone that cared enough to actually go through the process with me over the phone.
That cared enough to do that. Andrea, I'm glad you finally got your health insurance. Thank you very much for telling your story. And, you know, you could just hear the heads nodding out there of some people who've had similarly frustrating experiences. But Dr. Delgado, this is just the kind of thing that you're talking about.
Exactly. But also notice, people using the English website also have frustrations. And part of it is that we expect technology to be functioning at a certain level. Okay? When it comes to buying health insurance and this new opportunity on the Affordable Care Act, it is very complicated, and I don't think that, you know, it's where it should be in terms of people's expectations. But, you know, our goal is to get people enrolled. So we've had conversations, people who called us here in our national office, with over 14,000 people, okay? And we've helped them as much as we could, refer them to local people who can actually get them through the process. But it's been, we've used the English website, because our people are obviously all bilingual, to help people get as far as they can in understanding, and then we send them to a navigator locally to help them, because this is also very personal stuff, and you don't want the person on the phone to necessarily have all your personal information. So I think that part of it is being very careful. But it is a process. It's complex. You know, people, be patient. This is hard. I have family members who've gone to enroll and have had their issues. And I just, you know, try to encourage people, you know, get better.
Right. And presumably it will get better as they hear about these problems and as the rollout of the site gets, more effective in a more detailed way. I don't think Andrea mentioned whether the person who helped her on the phone helped her in English or Spanish. But I do understand that there are Spanish speakers among these navigators who are able to help people in that language, right?
Right. And remember that at the Alliance, for example, we are formally trained as assisters. We can assist people understanding the process, telling them what they have to do, directing them to the right place. We can serve more like a traffic cop, making the traffic go in the right direction. We can't actually drive the car for the person and get them insured, but we can tell them which way to go to get that. So I think that there's a lot of pieces in place. This is not like a nice, smooth surface. This is like pulling together different pieces. So, for example, some things that are complicated is if the children who are here, those DACA kids that President Obama said would have legal status because they came as children,
mm-hmm.
in terms of the Affordable Care Act, Secretary Sebelius said they could not apply to purchase insurance.
Right, and that's an eligibility question, obviously.
Which is different, because then if you happen to be a DACA person in California, California has decided that those people could apply for state Medicaid. So I think that, you know, even the nuances of having a program like this where every state has their own responsibility, has defined what is their responsibility for the people who live there, also adds another level of complexity.
And confusion, absolutely.
Exactly.
That's an interesting – I didn't know that particular distinction, that group can apply for Medicaid under the state rules of California,
California ruled that they could.
Under California law, but not under federal law. So they can still get it, but they have to get it in a different way. Let me read you one comment from our website professor, who writes, "Poor Spanish translation surrounds us everywhere. Look at subway signs." Writes, "At first I thought I was being snobbish about the quality of translation coming from a country where Spanish is spoken and not being familiar with the slang of Spanish-speaking American-born people. Now I believe that in more than one occasion, poor translation might pose risks to Spanish speakers in all kinds of settings. Airports, trains, and restaurants come to mind. I don't expect it to be any different with healthcare.gov." So is this part of a problem that you want to put into a larger context?
Well, I think the issue is that, you know, if you want to make people aware of something, you have to make sure that they understand what you're trying to communicate. And the best example I can give you is that Univision, which is a Spanish language television, the third largest, you know, network, that they are able to speak in what I call broadcast Spanish. Everyone understands it, regardless of their heritage, country of origin, or whatever. And I think that there's a way of speaking to communicate so everyone understands. The thing which makes it hard is that very often when you have more complicated concepts like copay, usual and customary charges, deeming authority, that you have to come up with new words because those concepts are new in.
Whoops, did we lose her? Dr. Delgado, are you there? Well, we were just about out of time anyway, so I want to thank Dr. Jane Delgado, President and CEO of the National Alliance for Hispanic Health, on the problems with language and, as she was pointing out, other things as well with the new Spanish language version of healthcare.gov, and hopefully they will all be straightened out soon enough. Brian Lehrer on WNYC coming up next. Buddy, can you spare a Bitcoin?